Hey, Anna, this was a great sight at the observatory the other day. You came in super excited about actually seeing an object in the sky.
Yep.
You were psyched. You were like, oh my gosh, it was so bright. It was so big and orange. And you thought it was...
Venus.
Yes. Bright and orange. What was the tip-off?
Is this payback because I had your parents on the show?
Yes, most definitely. The last years. What Anna saw, which I was very excited about, what did you actually see in the sky?
Mars.
The planet Mars.
Like a person can't get the name wrong of something.
No, it's okay. You know, God of War, God of Beauty, Goddess of Beauty. You know, they're similar. They're close.
They were siblings.
Yes, they're actually, you're right. They were siblings.
I know.
Very good. Yeah, because Venus has been, you know, lighting it up in the western sky. So I think you were psyched about that. You were overhearing us talking about Venus. And you were you took a lot of calls about all this stuff.
So many calls.
Because.
Who knows how much incorrect information I gave out.
That's true. Oh,
Let's not think about it.
You can ask for Anna next time if you want a good story. That'd be sure. But you saw Mars and you were psyched, right?
Oh my gosh, it was so bright and gorgeous. And I thought I was going to be like, this is crazy. This isn't working. This isn't the right thing. But it was Mars. It looked amazing.
Did it look like it was going to come pick you up? Like, was it the mothership? Was that bright?
It looked like it was moving.
This is how we get so excited about this stuff. It was
very cool. It was just so bright. I couldn't believe it. It was so late, though. I thought maybe I was just seeing things. My contacts get foggy.
That was the real thing. And so this is what this is like the heavens are like advertising for us. They're like, come see that weird object in there that may or may not be Venus, but is actually Mars.
That's right. But don't get the name wrong.
Don't get the
people
name.
Will mock you endlessly podcast.
I guess that's true. Everybody has their podcast.
Yeah. Everybody in their podcast.
But we've been taking all these calls for it. It's really, to me, this is an exciting summer. I mean, we got all the planets up there. People are talking. You're talking. You're misidentifying things.
Exactly.
It's working great.
I'm just too excited.
Well, from the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, I'm Dean Regas, and this is Looking Up.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we are both from the Cincinnati Observatory, where Dean's the astronomer, and I have a lot of questions about astronomy. In this episode, we're going to catch up on our first year, talk about this fall's big movie for space nuts, and give you a heads up on what to be looking up at the rest of this summer. I mean, I can't help that there's like a million planets to pick from right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, this is an exciting time with all these incredibly bright objects up there. Not only Venus, not only Mars, not only Jupiter. Then we've got Saturn up there.
Amazing.
We've got these bright stars up there like Antares and Spica and Arcturus. I guess I can just go on and on.
And you were going on and on.
Yes.
So yes.
What have you got for us this week?
Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. Because there's all these things coming up in the sky. There are all these things that we can view through the telescope. There's the moon. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yes.
And then I feel like, you know, people maybe want to be having, you know, it's still summer. They could be having like star parties.
Yes.
That's what we call them at the observatory.
That's our lingo. That's right. Yeah. Star party. I mean, wouldn't you want to throw a star party? I mean, doesn't that sound like a lot of fun?
It does. Do you know how you coordinate a star party?
How do you coordinate a star party?
So great. You plan it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. I've been waiting a year, everybody, a year to use that joke, and it was so perfect.
How many times have I heard that?
Once today, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Fine, you've heard it before, but it's good.
I know. We did it in rehearsal. But
that's right. So we should tell people, though, how they can look at all this fun stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you got the summertime, we've got a few more weeks before school starts before fall starts up. It's a great time to get the friends and family outside and have a get-together, have a star party.
Nerd out.
Exactly.
Just embrace it.
I mean, I know that's what we do in the Regas household. Every chance we get at every holiday, it's like...
Every night, every day.
This, they're like, enough, Dean, enough already.
The cats are sick of being made to look at stuff.
That's right. Oh, look, Biddy, there is Arcturus.
Yeah. Biddy's like,
aside from my family, which probably doesn't have a lot of fun with the star parties,
your
family could have a lot of fun with star.
That is true.
Imagine if you take your family out there and you wow them with your astronomical knowledge.
I know you're going to make a joke now about messing up Venus and Mars again.
And so the key is confidence.
Oh, you just say it?
Yeah, when you point out there, you say, that is Venus.
People and, are so excited.
Yeah, they'll be like, whoa, wow, you're so smart. You know what Venus is. And then, you know, they won't remember the next day. But there's ways that you can do this. And so you don't need a lot of equipment. You don't need telescopes. You don't need binoculars. Just get out there and, like, just make it a night of it. This is what we've found is that I thought it might be the most boring thing in the world that people sit on a hillside and watch the moon rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, what are they going to do? I mean, they're used to like this constant technology and being, but watching a slowly moving moon coming up above the horizon, it is really pretty cool. And it's a way to like slow down a little bit with your family and have some quality time, show the stars out there, and then maybe even make up some stories about some of them. But if you do have
maybe you're going to make up stories.
That's how I do like to
spin. You should know
tales.
The facts, though.
That's true. But then if you get a telescope, then there's all that great stuff to point at.
Yeah.
Because you look at Venus, you look at Mars, you look at Jupiter, and then you show people Saturn. And if you show your friends and family Saturn, I mean, you've seen Saturn before, right?
Cannot confuse that with it looks very distinctive.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
It's
I
amazing.
Mean, you're going to remember that. You're, I mean, people, if you would have a star party, and you would take all your friends out there and you'd show them Saturn, they would be your friends for the rest of your life. They would remember that moment in time, don't you think?
Yep, that's all my friends care about. Like,
exactly.
To look at the planets. But, you know, to your point about like, oh, it's boring. Like, is it boring to just sit on the, you know, watch the moon rise? But it's this very like, you know, my BFF, Mae Jemison, maybe, I don't know, Mae, as I call her. I don't have a nickname for her.
Right.
But, you know, she has this whole initiative about, you know, looking up and look up at the stars and the planets and be able to experience without your phone, without anything. And I think that's, like, a really great idea. Just to kind of, like, slow down, like you said. You don't need, like, electronics. Just look up and enjoy.
Yeah, I
right?
mean, because even if you live in the heart of a city, you can see a lot of things. You can see the major constellations. You can see the major stars.
Yep.
And then if you make a little trip, go out a little out in the country for a little bit.
Go to my parents' house.
Down to your parents' house.
Nowhere. That's
now,
right.
And then there's other things you can look for, too. Like, if you want to really set this up, like, what we do when we throw a star party is we look at what the moon phase is, because if we have telescopes, we want to be able to look at the moon. And if it's like a waxing crescent or a first quarter, that's always good. Full moon, you probably want to avoid for actually
too
seeing
bright,
stars.
Huh?
It's just so bright out there. Or if you want to really see the stars and you don't want the moon around, just look on the calendars and see when it's like in third quarter or a waning crescent. And then the real highlight, this is where I get people a lot, is that I tell them when satellites are going overhead.
Oh, yeah. People do love that.
If you could plan ahead when you can know when the space station's going overhead or an iridium flare or something like that, it's pretty cool because, like, you can time it down to the second and you say, look up there. It'll brighten up and then it brightens up and the crowd goes, wow. They're like, whoa. And then it fades away.
Wow.
It might be overselling.
Getting a real peek into your social life.
It might be overselling.
Wow. It's revealing. there's not just the International Space Station. There's a Chinese space station and then are there others?
The Hubble telescope's up there. It's a little bit fainter. You kind of need a dark sky to see that. But then there's the OTV-5, the super secretive military spacecraft, the space plane that circles the Earth.
Oh, it's not secret if you're telling all of our listeners.
Oh, right. I guess
we have thousands and thousands of listeners.
Oh, yeah, thousands and thousands. write to your congresspeople and say, what is the OTV-5? Because
Dean
I don't
Regas
know.
Dean Regas wanted me to ask you.
No, don't bring my name up for the government. I'm too in deep with them already.
After that Area 51 debacle.
Right, I know. They came to see me after I said about the other areas.
Right.
Area 1 through 50. They came, Dean, why'd you tell them about Area 1
Dean,
through 50?
We trusted you, man.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, Lord.
But, there's all these satellites you can look for as you go across the sky. And so the best place I use is a website called heavens-above.com. You put your place, your location into it, and it'll tell you when you can see these things, including the not-as-secret spacecraft, OTV-5, that circles the Earth every 90 minutes or so. The space station, International Space Station, is definitely one of the brightest. And then...
Because we can see it from the observatory, and we're in a neighborhood,
easily,
so that's nice.
Easily,
yeah.
And then the iridium flares, those can be even brighter than Venus when they flare up.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Awesome stuff.
Wow.
Now, there's one last thing.
Mm-hmm. One last thing.
Oh,
okay.
Well, we probably have more than that. But
yeah.
We're
stuff.
Into August,
uh-huh.
and meteor shower season is upon us.
I've been waiting all year.
I know you have. I know. It's August 12th and August 13th. You've been marking on your calendar.
Exactly. International Left-Handers Day is also August 13th. I just want to put a plug in for that.
Of course it'd be on the 13th. It wouldn't. It's not a Friday this time.
It's not
time,
a Friday. Go ahead.
But yeah, August 12th and 13th, this is probably going to be the best meteor shower of the year, called the Perseids. And I like the Perseids a lot because you have to stay up late to see most meteor showers, like between midnight and 5 a.m. And a lot of the good meteor showers are October, November, and December, and January. This one's in August, and so that means staying up past midnight is pleasant versus staying up past midnight
or is it?
In December.
It could be like still so hot.
It could be really hot still in August. That's true.
Oh,
good
man.
Point.
Yeah.
But
I'll hope for good things for you, and you can just report back.
That's right. Oh, you won't stay up till midnight? You're up on midnight all the time.
That's a good point. That's how I saw Mars.
Exactly.
Just like out walking my dog, like, what's up with that?
What is that
at like 2 in the morning.
So that's a real good one to look for, too. And you can make a meteor shower party out of it. Get some friends and family and get out of the city.
At midnight
to drive out there. And so it's the night of the 12th into the morning of the 13th.
So it's just that one night, because people will ask us a lot, you know, is it both nights? The 12th.
Well, that's the peak traditionally, but you can see some strays, Perseids a week before or a week after. So if you don't get it that night, you could do it the night before. One of those is a Saturday night going into Sunday morning. That would be good. Sunday night into Monday morning, that would be fine. But anywhere around there, you might see some stray Perseids. And you don't need binoculars again. Don't need a telescope. Lawn chair. Cup of coffee, kick back, just take as much of the sky in as you can, and just keep watching it because
keep looking up
because if you turn your head a second, you always miss them when you're like somebody's talking. You're like, hey, Dean, what's that thing over there? And you turn your head and you miss it. Like, oh, you missed the shooting star.
You're disinvited from next year's party.
I was like, what? So you don't turn your head. So it's a lot of – actually, it's really good for astronomers because we don't like looking people in the eye. So it's good antisocial. We just watch the sky and be like, yeah.
And just nod along.
And don't talk to people. It's how we like it.
Yeah. Now, sometimes, though, people will call about the Perseids. They get really excited, but we're kind of like, meh, it's not that great this time around. But this is going to be good. Is it because of the weather only? Or is it because of, like, they're going to be, like, just really good this year?
Oh, you know me too well to really hype this too much. Like, there's going to be a downside, right? You're waiting for the shoe to drop. Yep. Now, it's going to be good, but it's not going to be, like, mind-blowing, like, Laser Floyd out there. It's going to be, like, you're going to see some shooting stars, like, maybe once every couple minutes.
Okay.
So it's not, like, every second or every 2 seconds. Uh-huh. And whenever reports come out about how many meteors you're going to see an hour, like, NASA loves to get people excited. Like, you're going to see 200 per hour and 300 per hour.
Jeez.
And last time they did that, I went out, I saw 12 in an hour and a half.
And you wrote them an angry email.
Stop getting people super excited about the
meteors.
Manage expectations, NASA. We're not all on these like mountaintop observatories with perfectly dark skies or on our ocean-going research vessel. You know, this is
some of us are at Anna's parents' hill hanging out here.
That's right. Some of us live in cities.
That's right.
And so, yeah, the real expectations look for maybe one every 5 minutes or so. That's probably about good. If you see that, that's pretty fun.
That's still fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good night to go out. So August 12th and 13th.
Wait, I want to talk about one thing that I'm really excited about.
Okay.
It's not about space, though.
Oh.
I mean, it sort of is.
Okay.
You know, we talked to James Hansen.
Yes.
And he wrote the book First Man about Neil Armstrong.
Yes.
And the trailer's out for the movie starring my boo, Ryan Gosling.
Oh, my gosh.
And also Claire Foy and Kyle Chandler. And it was directed by Damien Chazelle. Maybe you've heard of it. Actually, maybe you haven't heard of it. I was going to make a joke.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure who any of them. I know who James Hansen is.
So,
and Neil Armstrong.
So, heavy sigh. He directed a movie called La La Land, which won an Oscar.
Oh.
Several Oscars, I think, actually. But we're going to post the trailer on our Looking Up Facebook page.
Ooh, very good.
And I'm still holding out for a Cincinnati premiere for the movie.
Wouldn't that be so great? I certainly hope we have something here.
I mean, certainly do, too.
We are, you know, the longtime home of Neil Armstrong.
That's right.
And,
come on.
So I got to ask, is this your way of introducing the new segment to the Looking Up podcast where Dean knows nothing about what's going on in social social life, and Anna explains things. We call it Anna-splaining.
That's right. I want to do this so bad.
Is this your introduction to that?
Yeah.
All right. The producers have taken note.
I just look back. Kevin looks upset.
I see thumbs down. Sorry. It has been panned.
The people have spoken.
No. If you like Anna-splaining, go ahead, listeners, write in and tell us how Anna can explain things to me about social things.
Yeah. Think of all the pop culture things that Dean knows nothing about.
Music would be good.
Movies would be good. Reality TV, he's a void. He's really a black hole, to use astronomy terms.
Oh, yeah. See, I can relate to that. That is very apt.
Exactly. In the 175 years the Cincinnati Observatory has been around, you can imagine some of the letters and now emails we've received with some unique perspectives on space, science, what have you. And we have grabbed one of those to share with you today. So, Dean, take it away.
All right. So this is a more modern one. This one, I think, is a product of people not looking up very much in their history and then all of a sudden looking up and seeing things that don't make sense. The question came to me about a week ago, and this is something that I've heard lots of times in the past. And the question is, how is it that I am seeing the sun and moon in the sky at the same time? What has happened? I had never seen the sun and the moon in the sky at the same time. Does that mean something has changed in the heavens all of a sudden? Is that something that you are hiding from us? That the works up above.
Did they ask you that?
Yes. That there is something going on up there that is different in the natural order of things. Because why would the sun and the moon be at the sky at the same time?
It's like Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah,
you should
exactly.
You just see one without the other. Like, wait a minute.
Wait a second.
Never see them in the same room or whatever.
And this is a pretty common thing that people always associate the moon with nighttime and then the sun with daytime. Well, you can't see the sun at nighttime, right? Because it's nighttime.
Right.
But
right?
Can you see the moon during the daytime? And the answer is absolutely yes.
Yeah.
In fact, you could see the moon during the daytime quite often. It depends on what moon phase that it's going in. Because what we have is the moon is going around the Earth. Mm-hmm. And it goes around the Earth about once every month. Or what I like to call a moonth.
Oh, my God.
No. Crickets.
And you're making fun of me for the planet, Jim?
Yeah.
Continue.
Anyway. All right. Well, that joke kills the fifth graders.
But anyway. But it kills at your star parties, too.
At the star parties, too. Yeah. My parents have heard that
so many times.
Oh, God. It's like your jokes at the observatory that I've heard a million times.
They're still funny.
No, that's true. It's
fine.
True.
Whatever.
Well, anyway, so as the moon goes around the Earth every month, sometimes it's on when it's lined up with the sun, then we have a new moon. So then you can't see it at all.
Okay.
When the moon's on the other side of the Earth, then you have a full moon. So you have the sun on one side and the moon on the other. And so at that point, picture as the Earth is turning. When we turn towards the sun, we turn away from the moon.
Right.
And when we turn towards the moon, we turn away from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So during a full moon, you'd see the full moon rise just as the sun sets on the other side. And the moon would be up all night until the sun rose the next day, and then the moon would go down.
Mm-hmm.
But when the moon is halfway in between there, like when half of the moon's lit up, in the waxing phase where the right half is lit up, you would see that moon at night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's when the right half is lit up. So I have a saying for this. When the light's on the right, you see it at night. Pretty good, huh?
So good, Dean.
So now the call or the question was, how did I see it during the daytime? Well, when the left side is lit up, that's when it's waning phase.
What's
then you can actually see it during the daytime. So when the light's on the left, nothing rhymes with left. I couldn't find out.
That is not true. Lots of things, right? You're
heft.
You're not gonna go there.
Bereft. I don't know. Deft. See, it's
a deft.
Well, we'll let.
I'm gonna work on it.
Yeah, you work on it.
I'm gonna think of something.
I got nothing. I was thinking of dawn, trying to rhyme with dawn. I couldn't dawn and. Yeah.
Because they can't see it then.
Yeah, so you can see it. Okay. So you can see the waning moon. The left side's lit up. You can see that during the morning. So you probably see it as you're going to work or as you're going to school.
Yeah, but it's kind of light. It isn't like a full on.
Yeah. So it's still light out, but you can catch this. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely not a problem. This is the moon has been visible in the daytime every month for a couple days every month that you can see it this way.
And you just won't see it at night.
And then you won't see it at night. But then when the light's on the right, you only see it at night, right at sunset and after dark.
What about if you see it at dawn, by night it's gone?
Whoa!
Mind blown!
Oh my gosh! Where
we did
have
not
you been?
Rehearse that.
That was unbelievable. All right, we got it.
Work.
That's going to be our new rhyme, no doubt.
Yeah. So we have a bonus crank file today.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
We're just going off script. Just set fire to it.
That wasn't enough. The moon, the people wanted more. They wanted
I also think, what about sunth?
Sunth?
That rhymes with month.
A sun.
But the moon thing works better.
Probably right.
Maybe should be in copywriting. Anyway, so we're going to do a second crank file.
Yeah, so speaking of the sun, I'm glad you brought that up. Because this is one that also came up recently, but goes back to some old ones too. Was that somebody called and said, they left a message on my voicemail. They said, Dean, I've been watching the sun lately, and it is moving across the sky in a different spot and rising and setting in a different place. I've lived in my house for 30 years, and I've never seen the sun rise from this spot, go through my window, and then come through the other window.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, again, what is happening in the earth?
What have you done?
What have we done to the earth? Has the earth's tilt changed? Has something happened in the heavens? They linked it to the earthquakes. They read that the earthquakes in Chile a while ago changed the tilt of the earth by 3 to 10 degrees. And so then that would throw off where the sun would rise.
Okay.
Now, that part is true. The earth did change its tilt during that earthquake.
Seriously?
In Chile. Yes, by 0.00003%.
Oh.
So it changed it by such a small fraction that it didn't change anything in the sky for the average viewer. But for the nerds that could actually compute that, that was like cheering. They're like, yay, we figured it out. That's pretty good.
Were you in that room?
They sent me a text afterwards. They're like, hey, check this out.
We didn't see you at the meeting.
Yeah, we didn't see you at the usual place. So he combined this fact that, yes, the Earth's tilt did change ever so slightly from earthquake to the sun now comes into a different window than it never did before. Now,
that seems like a big shift.
It is a big shift.
Okay.
And so this is the thing that we have is that people like what's it really makes me encouraged by these things is that people are noticing stuff. So they're noticing the skies for the first time, probably in their entire lives. And they thought, well, wait a second. The sun didn't come through here last month and now it's here. But they don't think back 20 years ago, did it go through that same window, the same exact day? And because the sun will move in the same path it does every single year, pretty much on every single day. So every August 15th, the sun will go in the same path every day, every time on that day. And I had this this apartment where I had the sun would come through the window and through a keyhole in my door every December 8th. It was really cool. It was like every December 8th, the whole thing would line up through the keyhole. And
that's fun.
And Manhattan has Manhattan Henge, where two times every year, the sun will shine right down through the streets. So it'll be parallel to the streets.
I bet traffic is a nightmare.
Oh, yeah. If you're driving
cool.
It's coming right through the buildings and everything like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And so any things that are changing, if we see the Earth tilt by 10 degrees in one day, we're going to have to do something else that day. I mean, we're going to have a lot of other problems.
All off kilter, right?
Yeah, we're not going to be just sitting in our houses watching the sun coming through the window. That's a humongous amount of energy to change the Earth's tilt. So, but I am encouraged because that means that people are actually looking at things.
Yeah.
But I want them to, like, look a little longer.
Like, that would be accurate about
that'd be, yeah, we'll just be like, well, let me watch it again the next day and see how things go. They see one thing and they're like, what was that? Oh my gosh, it's the end of the world. Why isn't the government and Dean and Anna telling us about this?
Mostly Dean.
And so, yeah, but that's the thing is that we want them to keep watching. So if you see something unusual, look again the next night. If it's in the same place, then we can figure out what it is. Watching the sunrise, this is something that people have been talking about for a while. They think that something's different of where the sun goes, but nope, I'm sorry. It's all the same boring sunth every sun that goes in the same place over and over and over again, the patterns of seasons. I love to watch it myself. It's like
keep
watching
a little journal. Like December 8th, well, sun through keyhole.
Yes.
That's a nice thing, though.
No comment about that. That's
it's nice.
That's actually relatively accurate.
I want to read the journal.
I'm going to dispose of that journal one of these days.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Don't forget to check out the trailer for First Man and links to some of the other things we've talked about in this episode at wvxu.org/lookingup.
We'd like to hear from you. On social media, you can find us on Facebook. Just search Looking Up WVXU. And on Twitter, we're at Looking Up Podcast. You can also drop us an email at lookingup@wvxu.org.
Hey kids, here's your chance to ask an astronomer what you want to know about space, galaxies, the planets, Martians. Hit us up with an email or ask your question on our Facebook or Twitter.
Remember to subscribe to Looking Up wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a rating and comment on iTunes. If you're new to Looking Up, you can always find all of our past episodes at wvxu.org/lookingup.
Our theme song and additional music is by Why, that's W-H-Y question mark, from their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Josh Elstrow is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provides additional technical assistance.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Regas. Keep looking up.